Become who you were already created to be, and those same gifts are going to find their way back to the Father. I had to discover that broken crown still color. People don't understand in life, even when you're broken, the color you are, it still is effective to work
in
life.
And even when it's wrapped up and it's broken, you can unravel it and take it out, and you still have components of use.
Come on, and they work.
They still work.
Oh my God, I think this is powerful because this is encouragement.
I'm going to win. You going to win. Everybody around me winning. Yeah. Everything around me winning.
Come on, Encourage Nation. How are you all doing? You know who I am. This is Pastor Hickman, doctor, your counselor, your friend, your brother, your cousin, your nephew. Listen, I'm just that guy. You see what I'm saying? But I just want to tell you today, I want you to be encouraged. Why? Because we're listening to what? Encourage Podcast. This is what we do here. Again, we are bridging what? The Lord God, Jesus Christ, the Word of God. We are blending now also with fashion, also with entrepreneurship, also with mentoring. We're putting all of those things together. So today, right now, I am telling you, I have an amazing guest in the house. I am so excited. If you can see it right now, I'm shaking and I'm probably just moving all over the place. But I'm telling you, my spirit is so full right now. Divine World Changes, which I am a pastor, we had our 9th anniversary, and we were blessed with Apostle Cynthia Thompson, also the doctor, that we were blessed with her appearance there. I mean, she came into the house and just took us to so many other levels and dimensions. And so I am blessed and honored to have this woman of God on this podcast. This is just the first of many opportunities that God is going to put leaders right now, spiritually. But we're talking about prophetically and apostolic, and we're talking about what is happening in the world right now. Where are we spiritually? Because right now we're going through some things and we don't understand which way to go. We've seen government change now. And when government changes, that means things are shifting. But we have to know that we have the same government authority as the world has it, but in a greater magnitude. And God has given us seers in this time to help us to be able to see those things and to be able to warn and to call and to tear down and to rebuild. And so right now, I want you all to welcome to the podcast, Apostle Cynthia Thompson. Can you just tell the nation hello?
Yay. Hello, nation.
We are so excited to have you here.
It's great to be here.
And just to say, she is everything that you see her to be. People see the beauty, of course, but it's bigger than that.
Mm.
The beauty is just to bring people into that great light.
Mm-hmm.
But the word and the heart for the people of God is what is really just mind-blowing to me. It's just how a person put so well put together. It's just the heart of it. It's as though the world has not and cannot contain that heart that you have for the people of God.
Oh, amen.
And so today I want to say, tell us a little bit about your story. Wait a minute, I'm getting off. I'm supposed to give you some rapid fire.
Oh.
I'm supposed to give you some rapid fire.
Look,
Encourage Nation, you already know, Pastor, Dr. D, we don't go on a script. We kind of go off.
Yes.
Y'all already know. We flow in the spirit, and that's why she and I connected. I call her, she's a mother now, you know, just because she said, son, I know where you are. I know how you are. I got it. Even when my wife says, slow down, son, it's all right. Honey. But I thank God for having that opportunity. And so when we started looking at some of the rapid fire things, that we're going to start here, and then we're going to get into the introduction stuff.
Okay.
When we said, all right, right now, if you want to say, if I asked you the question, who is your favorite designer right now, what would you say? Besides yourself.
You?
Come on, Jesus, speak it in the room.
I think you're amazing. I mean, I think that the world has yet to discover who you are.
Oh, wow.
So just to have seen what God has done in your life and how you put it together and how you make it work. And I think that's the time we're in. You're such a creative. And there are many people who have been in fashion and many designers. And of course, we have the designers. We wear the stuff and all of that. But I think to know that the world needs to now meet, I introduce you.
Oh,
you my wow. favorite designer now.
Y'all heard it first. Now, listen, how did you meet your husband?
My husband and I met. He was playing in the league. He was playing for the Miami Heat. He came to visit our church. And when he came to visit our church, because he was a believer.
Okay.
And so he came to church one Sunday. He wasn't playing. And when he walked into the church, my friend had invited him to come. Okay. And when my friend invited him to come, he came. And I was definitely trying to go the other direction.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Because I had come out of a world of Hollywood.
Okay.
I had come out of a world of having men or people I was in relationship,
yeah.
long relationship, with guys that was influential, that had big spaces in the earth, and they had lots of money.
Yeah.
So for me, when I got saved, my first thought was, I just want Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for no one else that think they can buy me, put me on the shelf, and own me with what they have. And so when he came to church, my first thought was, I'm going the opposite way. I say, everybody's going to think it's something because he's tall, I'm tall, he's good looking, you know, I'm trying, like, oh, I said no. And eventually, I mean, it was the plan of God that we got involved in ministry. He did come and be a part of our church, and I was involved in many things. And we just end up coming together, involved in ministry, and God connected us. And we were really good friends at first, you know.
Yeah.
And I moved, and he helped me move my things when I moved to Maryland. He helped me move my things, and we were just friends. And out of that, God.
Yeah.
I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if you think this is my husband, use people who I don't even know to tell me that this is my husband. You know, I sent out my own little fleece.
Yeah.
And so when he came, I came home one time, my godfather had gotten sick and he picked me up from the airport and he was taking me to the hospital to see my godfather. And when the bags from the airport, people were saying, you guys are such a beautiful couple. Oh my God, are y'all married? I mean, it was just like nonstop. And I just had to say, okay, Lord, okay, enough.
That's it.
I didn't think you was going to really tell me because I was really running. Yeah. I wasn't interested. You know, I'd come out of a long relationship that was not fruitful.
Amen.
And so I was in my healing season. I was in my place of like, I just want Jesus. You know, I was one of them girls that everywhere I walked, it was Jesus. And so we did. We eventually got together, shortly after that. And so we didn't have a long courtship. We got married. He was playing ball. We got married. And then his career went into a whole nother space where God was taking him. And he needed a wife for his next.
Yeah.
And so God kind of put us together. And now we are almost 34 years married.
Wow. That's amazing. See, people don't know that. And that's the reason for Encourage Nation is to come behind and then to pull out some of those nuggets that a lot of times people are saying, oh, they are perfect. Everything is there. And not understand that there's a whole story to how we got to where we are. And one of the things I'm going to ask you, another rapid fire question. How did you deal with the groupies?
Oh, the groupies. Yeah. I don't think I really had to deal with them.
Okay.
My husband was really good.
Amen.
I always say, can't no one put a female in her position or her proper perspective like a man. And when a woman is out of it, it was also because of a man.
Yeah.
But when a man really becomes a man, he knows how to help a woman become a woman.
Wow.
And so I never had to really deal with it from him because he was a man and he was a man of God.
Yeah.
So he was never one that was entertaining the groupies. And though there was groupies, you know, but he never entertained it.
Yeah.
So I never was affected by it. Not in that relationship. I had groupies from other relationships, though.
Yeah.
But no, he wasn't the one.
See, but you said the thing. You said he was a man of God.
He was a man of God.
Which was different from dealing with
a
worldly man to a man of God because of the fact that he knew he had already found his good
thing.
And he already knew he had obtained such great favor.
Right.
So he ain't won't mess that up.
That's for sure.
So I'm
that's
speaking for him already.
Okay,
all
that's
right.
For
you know,
sure.
And when a man already understands that, and that's one of the things that I share with my wife as well. She, you know, she says, you know, she said, well, you know, we want to be. I said, babe, I promise you, this confidence I'm walking with now is because I'm satisfied.
Yeah.
And when a man understands that, you don't have to worry about that. We do the check-in. We know how to see what you see and keep it pushing because of the fact that you know the anointing. You can't mess up the anointing.
You can't mess up the anointing. And one of the things I'm always saying is that it's so important for a man to come to know who he is. I think the Bible says a man findeth a wife and then he gets favor.
That's right.
She extends to him
opportunities,
possibilities, and she causes him to come into a place of a clearer identity.
Right.
I don't think he's all of who he is until he finds her.
Wow.
And so when man knows who he really is, the woman shows up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She just shows up.
Wow.
And so now you're ready because you can see. And so it's amazing because you meet people all over the world. And I don't know, in this world today, I'm just grateful that I'm almost 34 years married.
Yeah.
Because it's so much today that is so many uncertainties of how and who supposed to be in the same space together. And so for me, I'm grateful for the Lord. I'm grateful that we're saved. We're seeing and we're being introduced now to a model that I believe has brought even into the dynamics of relationship because of the era we're in. People don't honor and they don't really respect the sanctity of the covenant in which God gave us. I think one woman is enough for one man.
Come on.
And when a man does not know who he is, he's not looking for a woman.
Yeah.
He's looking for someone to fill the void, and only God can do that.
Right.
So when they really find God, the void is filled, and then he can find her.
My God, forgive that will preach. That will preach. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to tell you, it's just the fluidity of the word that's coming from you. So authentic.
Mm-hmm.
That this is one of the things for the podcast is that, you know, we see people, but to be able to see the creation, the spirit of God, it's just such oozing. I'm like, I wish they were all in this room right now with them, but they are, they on the table, on the camera.
They on
so,
the
you
camera.
Know, you kind of
get listening.
That. But one of the things that I would say right now is now, I'm rapid question, we gone. Now I want to say, when did you know that the anointing rests it on you? Because you talked about, and just tap into a little bit, you said, I came in from fashion.
Oh, yeah.
I was a singer.
Yeah.
I had already, you know, signed a contract deal. I was here. And, you know, so I was in rooms already. But it was like I was in the wrong room. But the anointing was there in that room, but it wasn't shining the way it needed to shine. It was glimmering. So talk to me about that.
This is, wow. Okay. I believe that you are created for what you're made to do. I believe that we are created in the heavens, but we're made in the earth.
Wow.
And so some of the things we go through in life, from the fashion that I was involved in, from the modeling, God always set a stage for me.
Okay.
And he was using those moments to make me. And I see it like this. It's like Dorothy.
Yeah.
In the Wizard of Oz.
Okay, I like that.
Finding Emerald City. You know, and you're going in your journey in life, and a lot of things that you are so organically doing that is such a part of who you were created by God to be, the life that you're living is making you become who you were already created to be, and those same gifts are going to find their way back to the Father. And then now you can get the anointing that God will put on you to be able to now change the world with the light of his glory by what you were already gifted to do. It's in you. It's innate in you. You're born to be who you are. You know what I'm saying? And so people say, you were born with that gift. The Bible says it's without repentance, so it's already there, okay? So I already had a gift, just like you. We see ourselves, we're creatives. Most people don't know this, but creative people are people that are highly prophetic people.
Yeah.
They're people that see things outside of what is in the box, you know? We need people to teach us colors. You know, sometimes people only see black and white, and there's nothing wrong with black and white, but black and white is not a color, it's a shade. And so when we want color to be added to life, we need people that can show up and show us how to add to what we have. And I think we were created, you and I.
My God.
To do it. We show people. Did you ever consider purple and green and yellow?
Yeah. Have you ever considered?
So we'll do that. And that what brings us to a place to be inclusive. Then we can touch nations. Because everybody don't look like me, act like me, behave like me. And if I keep my thought in a box, then I would miss out on the possibilities of connecting with people who may be orange, purple, and green. That is a part of the master plan, right?
Well,
So we just include everybody. We like add that, put that, do this. And that's what makes life what it is.
Yeah.
So that's my thought.
It's the crayon box.
It's the crayon box.
Come on. I mean, when we start to understand that every color has value.
Yeah.
And every journey I've been on has value. It's a part of my crayon box.
Oh, that's so amazing. You know, someone just said to me the other day, I think this is powerful because this is encouragement. And someone said to me the other day, I was talking to a friend of mine, and she said to me, she said, I had to discover that broken crayon still color.
Come on.
And some people don't understand in life, even when you're broken, the color you are
wow.
it still is effective to work
and
in life.
And even when it's wrapped up and it's broken, you can unravel it and take it out, and you still have components of use.
Come on, and they still work.
They still work.
Oh, my God.
So
somebody who's broken right now,
who's
going through whatever they're going through in life, you know, they have books that we read forever, broken and bruised, but still blessed, you know, that even when your life looked broken, we came out of broken. I came out of broken. I was raised broken. I was adopted. I didn't know who I really was. I was looking for identity and love in the wrong places. And as I was on my road going to Emerald City, you know, finding the Father, coming into my place, I met lions, tigers, and bears on the journey.
Come on.
But I know one thing. Yeah, I kept my face.
Come on, fixed.
This ain't, listen, where I am is not who I am. And this is not my end. This is the road that's going to lead me to the greatest beginning of my life. And when you learn to stay on that road, you're going to get there. So my encouragement today to people that are listening and watching, even out of that broken crayons, They still color.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, see, that's why I said we can't be scripted.
We can't be scripted.
We got a nice script and all of that, but we have to go by what God is saying by the Spirit. And what I was hearing again as you were saying it is that your color will never change.
Mm.
It's just to be used.
Yeah.
In a different place, in a different way.
Even
though you are part of a whole thing, but the broken thing is what we put together to make the wholeness.
That's so good.
And I'm like, God, wow, those are things. So as you mentioned that, and we start to talk about colors and we start to talk about things. And so how you use that broken piece to really accept the calling of who you are now.
Mm-hmm.
So we go from as a child, you know, you shared some things about, hey, you know, I didn't know who my family was.
Oh, no.
You know, I didn't really understand what those were, some pieces that were broken,
even though
we were looking at a whole person.
Yeah.
And many times we are looking at whole people with broken pieces.
Yeah.
But it depends on how the fragments us reflecting is what we will see.
Yeah.
And many times you have to allow the radiance of God to reflect so that they don't see the fragment pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
But then it becomes also illumination for the earth when we use our colors to illuminate our path.
Yes, and that's what designers do, right?
Yeah.
They look at the fabric that maybe somebody threw away.
Yeah.
And nobody could do nothing.
Come on.
They said, I see something in this that is great. And that's like the master. You know what I'm saying? He put us on the potter's wheel. When somebody threw you away and dejected you or rejected you, God said, I can do something great with you. He goes after the ones that seemingly to people who don't have it all together. The missing formula is Christ.
Mm.
The missing formula is who you were created to be, and you don't even know it yet.
Amen.
Because sometimes we're trying to fit ourselves, and we're really eagles. We're trying to fit in the chicken hoop. You know, we're trying to, when you live your life around people who don't know who they are, they'll try to convince you don't know either.
Wow.
And you have to stand in your own space and know that you have great purpose. And even though I may not fit here, I fit somewhere.
I fit somewhere. The thing, we spend more time telling people how they don't fit.
How they don't fit.
As opposed to how they do fit.
That's right.
And that's seeing the glass as half empty
as opposed
to half full. And sometimes people get frustrated with me because I'm like, okay, I see that. But now what are we getting ready to do with that? Because speed limits were created for a reason. It's warning. Because some of us were out of control. And so it's coming to bring some of the control in that. Not to mean that you don't have the ability to go, because speed limits change depending on where you are.
Oh, that's good.
Come on. So in the spirit realm, God is changing speed.
Don't go there.
Uh-oh. You know I'm going there because I already know you're going to change. Tell us.
God is changing speed. That's really good.
Yeah.
And so you got to stay in the now and the knowing of God.
Yeah.
That brings us back to the prophetic.
Yeah.
You know, God said that in the scriptures. He said he wished that we all came to this point where it's written that we all prophesy. You know, Paul is an amazing apostle because he's teaching so many principles to the church at large to bring them into a bigger perspective, which can only happen by the Spirit. Yeah. You know, we have a limited perspective in our natural human ability.
Absolutely.
And that's why our mind had to become renewed, because we need the higher thoughts of God, which gives us the ability to see beyond what we see.
Mm.
When you come into another dimension, when you talk about the speed of things that are changing, when you stop living out of this limited space in this third dimensional world, and you recognize that Christ Jesus gave you access from the cross when he redeemed us. He gave us back access to ascend. And when we find ourselves, our wings are clipped because the enemy seed things into the minds of people to make them believe that this, what they're living in, is it.
Yeah.
And you got to look around in your life and say, this is not it. Somebody, when I was laying on the beach one day, I live in Florida, and so we get to sit on the beach, which I love. And I was laying on the beach one day, and you're looking at things that you can see laterally, the buildings they build, the things that someone architecturally saw to put something in a space to be a blessing to someone. I was laying on the beach and I put my head back one day and I looked up and I started seeing buildings as I was looking. They was going up into the sky. I say, somebody got another thought. We're not going to stay here. There's too much room up here.
Hallelujah.
And they begin to build higher. And sometimes we in life, we seeing ourselves from the limited spaces that someone, and we say, well, there's no room. I can't do nothing and I can't. You got to look up. Because if you can look up, there's an eternal realm that has all the space you need to create all that God has called you to do. And that is what the prophetic does.
Yeah.
It gives you the perspective to see beyond what you see. And if you can just learn to see beyond what you see, if you can know that there's places for you to ascend in that is greater, you will stop limiting yourself through the fears that the enemy has made us believe we can go no higher because he can't. He's restricted. He was cast down and he's bound.
Right.
So he tries to use our life to give him access back into dimensions. It's illegal for him to come in unless he manipulate one of us as the sons and daughters of God to say, I want to get back in that space. And when we don't know who we are and we listen to the lies of a fallen devil, he'll try to put a tracker device in us so he can chime in on our conversations that we're having in the holies of holies. Mm. And that's what we got to be careful with because he don't know. Except that he can pull a file from us.
You.
And so I just thank God that he's given me the ability. Come on, y'all.
Come
we
on.
Can see as far as we can
on.
See. You Limitless. Can go there. If you can believe it and you can see it, it's a possibility for you to be it.
Wow. And you're proving fact for me today, sitting here, that I had dreams, visions. One day, God, I would want to sit. Great queens and kings. Bishop Robinson, I'll tell you, has been a king to me and showing me the spirit of excellence and how to move in realms. And his wife, Co-Pastor Robinson, her grace, like showing my wife how to be a woman of God. I remember her taking me, actually, Co-Pastor Robinson invited me to a place where they were doing training on how to actually eat with etiquette, where the knives are placed and the forks are placed. And I feel like in the prophetic, that's what you're doing to the body of Christ.
Mm.
You're actually showing us how to eat from the right plate,
yeah,
with the right
sure,
utensils,
yes.
at the right time, in the right dimensions, in the right elements, to be able to understand what it is that we should be doing, that we need pure prophetic voices coming apostolically to be able to show us how to. We don't look the same. Everybody's not in all black. But there's a coloring to this equation that we need to hear in the now season. And what I want to ask you now, what is it that we should be hearing now?
Well, okay, what we should be hearing now is going to be important that we sit in the presence of God to hear it.
Okay.
There's a lot of echoing spirits. There's a lot of people, we talk about monitoring spirits, people that are chiming in on conversations like the enemy does. And when you have people whose spirits are polluted, or who have opened up themselves to begin to receive probably information from lower beings, then what we're getting is not the authentic, pure version of God. We're getting a mixed version. Yeah, you know, when the enemy showed up in the garden, he told that woman when he was talking to Eve, he said to her, he said, God said you can't eat from the tree, you know, because you'll surely die. Now, he added something to what God said.
Yeah.
And we got too many people that are adding to what God said.
Wow.
And what people are getting so, I think, off course by is the added version. He says, no, if you add something to this word or take something, let it be a curse. And so people are, the enemy is trying to pull creation of mankind back into a cursed life that really Christ redeemed us from. And every time somebody adds to what God has said, it takes away from us, our destiny, our purpose. You know what I'm saying? The place in which we can move into to get things accomplished because he wants to stop us.
Yeah.
He hates, Satan hates us. We're made in the image and the likeness of Christ. And so I think what people need to hear right now is that they get back into the authentic place of Christ. The church is in an identity crisis.
Mm.
And so we don't know who they always say, who's your daddy? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
Who's your daddy?
Yeah.
And I think that we have been a church. When I say the church, church, I'm talking about the people who make up, right, that place of the institutional church or the ecclesia, who those people are, they sometimes have gotten lost in their real identity of knowing who their father is. And if God said, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. If God said, I'm the head and not the tail, that's what I have to believe and make myself become convinced in it, because that's my father. He says, my sheep know my voice. Wow. And that of a stranger they will not follow. So you got to first become sheep. You got to second submit yourself to your father. And then you got to sit in that image and let him now reshape, define you and who you are and develop character so you can represent him properly wherever he goes. Because you bear his name.
Wow. Wow. See, I'm like, oh my.
Yeah, it's just amazing, you know, when you talk about what people should be hearing. It's a lot of things going on right now. And I think people are looking for, like you said earlier, authentic. But then we don't know what authentic is anymore because we are so contaminated within our own selves that when we hear things, the added version of what the enemy may bring or other fallen thoughts or people's opinions, oh, my God, so many opinions, right? Yeah. And there are so many truths. We're living in a time where there are so many truths, but it's not the truth. The Bible teaches us that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So no one can enter into a true, authentic relationship with God to discover God and a God space without coming through Christ. He is truth. So you got to get flushed in truth. You know, you got to be cleansed in truth in order to be qualified to sit in the presence of truth.
Jesus.
And so too many people have, we have barbershop truth, you know, auntie truth, you know, your mom and them truth. That's my truth. You know, I'm just giving you my truth, but it's not the truth.
Right.
It's a version of a truth, but it's not the truth. And sometimes we got to know the difference between what is A and what is the. He makes it clear. I am the Lord. The Messiah. You know, he separated God. And so he is the truth. And when we want to know the truth, we must know who he is because he is the truth.
Wow. And so when I was thinking, I, again, from some of your background, you know, again, finding your mother later and understanding some of those transitions. And what I started to hear in the spirit was church has become like a foster care.
Wow. Like a foster care. That's amazing. Wow. Church has become like a foster care. Okay. So we sit in that thought because now we got a generational time period we're in where we're dealing with an orphan spirit. People are very gifted.
Yes.
But they are orphans. They don't know, right? When you talk about the foster programs or the kids who were never really established out of any place that was authentic. There are people that are gifted. We knew we were those gifted kids.
Yeah.
You know, no matter where you put us, probably when we was young and didn't have nothing, right?
Yeah.
I came out of the projects. I don't know where you came from.
I told you, welfare and government cheese. Come on.
Government cheese.
Come on. Government, please don't cut that. We need the cheese. I mean, I needed that. And I'm here today because of some government cheese.
Oh, we all had the cheese and making sandwiches and living. And, you know, we knew how to survive.
Yeah.
And so I think that when you look at a generation now that was not really given, they probably needed some government cheese.
Yeah.
Like right about now, they need to see that they are bigger and greater than the limited things that they have allowed themselves to be stuck in, to the resources that someone created and gave them that they don't even know. We was going outside. Come on. We used to draw the box to play
hopscotch.
Come on. We got us. And guess what we used? We used a rock that was in the sand.
Absolutely.
It wasn't no crayons. It wasn't no. They not going to go to the store and buy all this stuff. No, we were so creative. Some of the most creative people came out of a lot of things that was in our lineage and in our time. They was creating ways, bulldozing, making spaces. And I think that we have done an injustice to a generation of children that is part of our. They came out of us. The millennials are our babies. You know what I'm saying? We look at the next generation of these Z generations. You know, I don't know. We're in this whole generation that has come now. The babies that are being born of this era. They are now, we got alpha generation. They are the beta generation. They have already come on the scene, okay? So now we have children that have never been able to understand government cheese. Come on. Yeah. We was getting the powdered milk. We was going to the community centers in our community.
To get lunches.
To get lunch. You remember that?
I had to make sure I was there at 12 o'clock.
We had to be there at 12 to get our sandwich.
And look, and then I was going to take it. It was frozen. So
we're
going to sit it on the side on the bench
let
the sun do what it do.
Let it do what it do. See, and we appreciate the elevations, the processes. You know what I'm saying? What God cultivated us because we look at where we came from, and it makes us be able to appreciate the doors of extensions of favors and things that God has allowed us to through knowledge, through Him, through our giftings that He gave us, to be able to create something in a space that somebody said it was impossible. Wow. And we got people that are listening to other people who tell them they can't. And when you're looking at Google and we're watching technology that someone is programming that is limiting you from being who you really are called to be, then you're going to find yourself stuck somewhere in life. And the genius in you, the genius gene in you that is of God, the intelligence He's given you to do amazing things cannot come forth. And then that way we'll never see that portion of God expression in the earth because you limit yourself by what someone told you that wasn't even God. So thank God for the government cheese.
Thank God for it. Listen, and then I was sitting here listening as you were saying, God said, do you understand that a microwave was created because we used to sit out sandwiches that were under the sun, and they needed a quicker way to be able to get that done, but not understanding that we got the sun.
We got the
sun. We started understanding the sun, who Jesus Christ was for us.
Oh, hallelujah.
That we didn't want anything microwaved and quick. We started learning how to bask in the presence of God, and we started to sit where the sun could draw us out. It could thaw us out.
Thaw us out.
So that we could actually literally, I'm just saying that in the spirit realm, that we can literally take our rightful place to be healed, whole, and ready.
That's what the sun does. It adds. It causes, like you're saying, that sun has in it the light that is illuminated out of the sun. It really does add to us. It gives us a type of ability. Not only does it shine a light to give us the ability to see, but it also gives us the ability out of it to build and add to the things in our bodies, the minerals, the things that gives life, the things that add to your cells. As a matter of fact, it gives us vitamin D. Mm-hmm. They say vitamin D help deals with so many things in your body. And so we need to stay in the light because the light is going to, and that light is Christ. And it runs greater than the sun that we see in the sky. The glory.
It's the glory.
It moves at a whole different speed, you know?
A whole different speed.
Right. So we got one light, and God used all these things in the earth to show us that it really is an expression of His love that came down to us that make us want to go up to Him to get something greater.
Wow.
And there's always the greater in God.
This is what I say. How did you know God loved you?
Ooh, I did not know God loved me.
Okay.
I went on a journey. You know, I'd love to tell the story of my life because it's who I am. And every part of what I've gone through, every part of what I had needed to discover through my journey, every mistake. I tell people all the time, your mistakes are bringing you to discoveries. Oh. What you're finding out through every mistake is what did not work, so you can know what do. And so that's why we have an eraser on every pencil.
Oh my,
if you don't
good.
Like it, you can erase it and
that's
start over.
Good.
However your life started, it doesn't have to end like that. And I'm so grateful to know that I am. I always say, I am the foolish things that confound the wise. It don't even make sense. Except that I was a little girl that was broken. By the time I was introduced to Christ, of course, I grew up in church. Most of us grew up in some type of knowledge of God. But my heart came to a place after my mom died. My parents, who raised me, they died when I was, my mom died when I was 12. And my father died when I was 12, and she died a year afterwards. I was 13. So my life took me on a journey where I did not have a lot of times that solid foundation of family. You know what I'm saying? I was looking for love in the wrong places, for validation, for acceptance. And then when I grew up in the time, I was growing up in the hood. You know, I was this little high yellow girl, you know, was mixed. Found out recently my father's Italian. I always thought he was Spanish, but he's Italian. And so I'm 50% Italian and other part of me are Black, you know. And so I went on this journey because I didn't look like people in my community. And I was called names and they called me white girl, cute. I was called every name there was to be called. And then I was tall and I was slim. So they would call me Super Chicken, you know. When people don't know you don't fit and what their idea is for what they're in their box or their community, or what's around them, they will try to give a name to you that's not your name.
My God.
And you have to come to the place. So my journey put me on all of that God used to make me be the little girl called Dorothy on the yellow brick road to find Emerald City.
Wow.
And so on that road of my life through brokenness, identity issues, didn't fit nowhere. We know what that's like. You're always trying to find where you're fitting. Where do you fit? When I got introduced to Christ, I was singing. I had gotten a contract. I was working with Teddy Riley in New York, and I was singing. I'd gone there. I'd done some modeling. I'd signed with the modeling agency and was doing some work modeling. And so that was going to be, for me, my ticket out of the hood. You know, most people go and say, well, I'm going, you know, I had a talent. I could sing. I had a little bit of nice looks on me. So I said, okay, that was pleasing to the eye. So if you had to take a picture of somebody, be like, okay, she looked good. And so that was my ticket. If that was all God gave me, it becomes now. I'm telling you, what did he put in my hand? He said, I'm going to give you something to work with. It's going to be important that you see it when nobody else can't see it, that it will be the tool that you use until you can get to your next. And so everybody has something in them God has given
something.
Them that can be a part of what, to start with the bill. He told Moses, use the rod I put in your hand and part the sea and bring your way out. And then bring as many people as you can out
my
with
God.
You. And so God has given us something that can part the sea in our life to bring us on the other side. And the important thing about it when you're prophetic is that you're trying to bring everybody out with you. You go back to the hood, to the, listen, y'all, the ball players do it, everybody do it. We go back and say, I found a way out.
Yeah.
You don't have to stay in this.
Absolutely.
This is not your end. Come on, let's do something greater with it. And so many people in life have done that. And I know you and myself have seen so many role models and examples of that. But on my journey, it brought me through those things. And so through the brokenness, through losing my parents, through being this girl that had no voice, I felt like I was invisible. Nobody saw me. I had so many challenges because in school, I was trying to survive. So when kids was with their parents and they had normal families, for me, I didn't have that. I had to figure out. But it was the things that have made me who I am now. I got on my knees. When I got introduced to Christ, I said to the Lord, I never forget it. I was going to New York to record. My friend came and introduced me, came to the hairstylist because I had a little celebrity status. You know, I do some television stuff. So I would fly him in to do my hair. He came to my house to do my hair, and he led me to the Lord. And when he led me to the Lord that day, washing my hair, doing my hair, I literally saw things move off my eyes.
My God.
I saw, like, when people say, we see life through this haze before we get saved. We don't see it clearly. And when I said the sinner's prayer, I've been to church now from a little girl. But that day when I said the sinner's prayer, I saw things move off my eyes.
Wow.
When my eyes opened, I could see the sky was blue, the trees was green, like color came to my eyes. I knew when I was going to New York, I say something happened to me different. But when I got to New York, I start thinking, you know, when I get here, I know I got to find a church because that's what I got to find a church. When I got to New York, I couldn't find the church. The churches in the North are different from the South. They were all kind of big buildings. They felt cold. They didn't feel intimate. They didn't feel like, you know, and I said, oh, that's not it. So I was trying to figure it out on my own. The Holy Spirit starts speaking to me by himself out of the Word of God.
Yeah.
I picked up the Bible, and every time the Bible opened, it would land on the bed or land somewhere, and it would say, find out what pleases me. And every time I read the scripture, eventually I got to the point, I said, every time this Bible opened, it got scary. So I said, okay, I don't know what's going on. This is kind of spooky. Every time it opens, it kept landing to that same scripture and find out what pleases me. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. So I stopped looking at the Bible. One day I came back from, I think I might have been in the studio session or whatever. I came back to my apartment. And when I came back into my apartment, the Holy Spirit said to me, he showed me a picture on the wall of my church. Our senior leaders, of course, my church out of Miami, my parent church is Jesus People. I came out of that church in Miami, and we're now Jesus People Proclaimed, 24 years in ministry. But when I got back to my apartment, I saw a visual picture. The Holy Spirit started speaking to me. Now, I don't know it's the Holy Spirit. I don't know what's going on. I had never been introduced. Nobody raised me to say, this is the Spirit and this is what it does. But I found out that day that God can find you if you on the pole.
My God.
He can find you if you're on the pipe. He can find you. Let me tell you something. He knows his children. And when it's time for you to come in, I don't care if you're in the bed with somebody else's husband. The Holy Ghost is going to come in there and get you. You're going to feel the conviction of God. I remember, because somebody's prayed for us, right?
Yeah.
I remember I came home that day and the picture of Jesus People, I had gone there one time. And when I went there, I thought, these people, it wasn't traditional church. They had TVs in there. They on TBN, you know what I'm saying? We got all kinds of stuff happening. I came out of traditional church, Baptist church, you know, and a part of that was Church of God. So I knew Pentecostal church and I knew the Baptist church. And so when I saw the picture on the wall, I heard a voice speak to me. The Lord spoke to me and he said, you're going home. And he showed me the church. Now the prophetics are open right then. It's working. Okay. And so I see the church and the Holy Spirit speaks to me and I'm thinking, who's talking? But I heard a voice from within. And he says, you're going home. And when I saw it, he says, and you go home. And when you get to this place, I'll meet you there.
Wow.
And so everything start going crazy with my whole contract thing with Teddy. I said, well, I'm going home. I was signed with his production company. I said, I'm going home, and I'm thinking I'm going home just for the holidays. He was working on a lot of projects with a lot of artists, and so it was like I was pushed back, you know, because I was his artist. I went home. When I got home,
My God.
I said, I got to go to church. I went to church, took a friend with me. She had just come from Paris. She was modeling. And I said, I got to go to this church. I said, I can't. It's resting on you. It's pressing. When God is after your life, I'm going to tell you, you ain't going to get no rest. The Holy Spirit. So it was pressing on my chest, like, I got to go to this church. I get to the church. Of course, when you go, the pastor starts preaching, and the message is for nobody but you. And you're thinking, who told this person, this man, my business?
Yeah.
And people start looking around. Somebody told this person my business. And as he's preaching, he goes now and he goes and do the altar call. When he did the altar call, I'm standing there and I'm 25 years old. I'm like in this whole career thing. Money's on the tape. Things are happening. I had this big house I built. I had been with a big guy who was a drug dealer who put all the money I ever needed behind everything I needed to do in a career. We built a type of empire. We built a whole type of business. We had artists. I did a lot in those days of building record companies and labels and producing artists. And I did that, and I was an artist myself. But I never forget when that day when he preached and did the altar call. I'm standing there in the church. And then all of a sudden, I'm sweating. You know, people start sweating because God is saying, it's time for you to come in. And I'm like still trying to figure it out and run. All of a sudden, in the service, I get an out-of-body experience. I'm no longer in the church. I'm in a place where I'm seeing nothing but a wall. It's like as far as I can look, there's a wall. Then I hear trumpets blowing. I later find out that's the call of a prophet. When you hear trumpets. And so I'm hearing trumpets blowing in my ear. I'm at this wall. And I hear the Holy Spirit says, he said to me, this is where you are. He says, you're at the end. He said, this is called the end of your run. And he said, if you don't give your life to me, this is going to be your end. Okay?
Wow.
And so, because I was running with everything. I was going to figure it out. I was one of those persons. And so after he said that to me and I heard the trumpets blow, a lady standing behind me, one of the praying mothers in the church. Come on, mothers. Stop praying.
Come on.
The daughters and sons are coming in.
I'm trying to tell you, they're coming.
They're coming in. So this mother behind me, she went to say something to me, but right before she was speaking to me, it felt like somebody put nails in my feet, like I couldn't move. Like it was like cementing to the ground.
Wow.
The woman behind me, she put her hand on my shoulder. When she put her hand on my shoulder, my feet got flew. They got free, like that. I felt like my feet became like feathers. And she put her hand on my shoulder and she said, baby, do you want to go give your life to the Lord? 25. I remember looking at her with tears in my eyes and I said, yes, ma'am. I didn't know how I was going to go to that altar. The altar seemed like it was 10 miles from where I was standing. Okay. And I was like, oh, it seemed like it's so far and it's so, you know, you got everybody looking at you. And then some people knew I had done some things and they're probably trying to figure out, you know, they knew my name and some spaces and some things I had done, you know, and I lived that life, you know, like you, like fabulous,
yeah,
like you.
Yeah.
I lived that life, fabulous life. And so I remember that day and she said, I'll walk with you. And I took that journey. I turned to my friend and I said, I got to go give my life to the Lord. And my friend said to me, girl, what are you talking about? We were club partners. You know, we were the girls that walked in the club and everybody stopped and said,
who that?
He was in the VIP section, you know? And so we were those girls, right? Before there was the girls we see, we were those girls, you know? And so I remember I turned to her and I said, I don't know, but I got to go. I got to go get, I knew everything in me, this was it. I walk up there and she walked with me, the older mother, and I said the sinner's prayer. And I realized this. One young lady said to me that I witnessed to after I became saved, she was a 15-year-old girl in the car, and we pulled up. My husband and I was dropping off an African brother that came to visit us. And there was a young girl sitting in the car with some friends. She jumped out the car. We was in our car praying, and we was doing our final prayers. He was going in the house. Young girl jumped out of the car and came over to us, and she knocked on my window. She said, ma'am, can I speak to you? And I rolled down my window. I said, yes. I said, you okay? What's going on? She said, no, ma'am, I'm not okay. She said, I'm here with my friends, but my mom and I have a lot of conflicts going on. She said, I heard y'all over here praying. And so she said, I just wanted you to pray for me. I said to the young lady, I said, have you ever given your life to the Lord? She said, ma'am, I was raised in church. She said, I recognize this. She was 15 years old. I'll never forget it till this day. She said to me, I've been to church and I said the sinner's prayer, but I've never given my life to the Lord. I recognized that day when I got saved that I not only said the sinner's prayer, but I gave my life to the Lord.
Wow.
And my life changed forevermore.
Wow. That is amazing.
That's my story.
Wow. See, but wow. It's like .. It's so many facets of that. We see you on stages, but we don't understand what built the stages that you're on now.
Yeah.
And this is the authentic piece that I believe is the Encourage Nation.
Yeah.
It's about talking to people wherever you are, the levels of elevation that will happen from that if you don't throw away what it was.
Yeah.
Sometimes we can erase some things that you don't need to remember anymore,
yeah.
But there's some things that are going to build you up to who you are today.
Yeah.
And so when I ask that question, we got so many more places I want to go. You know, I'm sitting here like, oh God, I want to ask it. We will be here for hours. But the question I'm going to ask you now, your mentoring.
Please tell us
about the mentoring program we have that'll be starting on the 18th, right?
It will. Okay. Starts March 18th. I carved out 6 weeks on my calendar and my schedule to say that I wanted to give a space for people who've asked me all over, can you mentor? I think that when we talk about mentorship and what I said, mentoring is so important. I heard you talk about your bishop earlier, and you was talking about how his wife came along and she took you through a journey because she began to teach you things that she ran ahead to get processing in life to know that this was better. And when she saw in you, it's that you're going to need these skills for where you're going. People who are master teachers can look at people and see that that's a student.
Yeah.
I think you have to come to the place that you realize everybody that speaks to you may not be your teacher. You know, I know that when my voice print does not cause people to respond, I'm not your teacher. You should go find yours. Because when the student is
that's
ready,
good.
The teacher
that's
appear.
Good.
When you became ready, the teacher appear. In life, when we become ready, the coach, the mentor, when you really want to be an athlete on the field and you want to go to your next level, you need a coach. You need someone that can mentor you. The difference between mothering and mentoring, they're very important, is that when you say, that's my dad, that's my spiritual father, then you have people that come along to be your father who's a mentor or your mother who's a mentor. And sometimes they play dual roles in your life. But when they're being mother, they're dealing with your personal life. They're telling you, babe, what's going on in your marriage? What's dealing with these children? Do you have money to pay these bills? But when you are now sitting in a seat, and that's a part of mentoring for motherhood, but when you're sitting in a seat of being mentored for destiny, we deal with mantle.
Oh.
Okay? Oh. And so now we're helping you to be cultivated for your mantled position to be called for your destiny purpose. And those things are two different roles. Some people can handle you being both. Some people can't, you know. Sometimes kids can't hear you being their mentor, and you can be the greatest mentor in their lives, but they so busy seeing mama and daddy, they can't see mentor. And sometimes you go into coaching. I run alongside and keep you in the game. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so those are different aspects that we're able to deal with lives. And so I deal with the prophetic. I'm a prophetic coach. I'm one that God has called to be a guardian, that he put me in a place to give watch care in the prophetics. That's teaching people the spiritual and supernatural realms and helping them discover how significant they are and what God wants them to know. I can't make you a prophet, you're born one, but I can help cultivate what's in you, and I can help give you identity through that, so you can see bigger than what you've seen, and give you character development so you can keep integrity to this office.
Oh, my goodness. And so if they want to sign up, they want to become a part of this, where should they go?
They can go to ctglobal.academy and sign up. They can sign up right now and go there.
How many seats do we have? Because I took two last night.
You took two last night?
I took two last night. So I don't know about you, but I already got two seats that me and my wife, we are already in.
I think we have a few more seats left. If they can jump in there before the 18th, because it's going to close on the 18th, and nobody be able to get in that after that.
And what time will your sessions be having?
Every Tuesday night from the 18th. It'll be every Tuesday night. We'll jump in there at 7.
Okay.
And then we'll go to about 7 to 8:30.
Okay.
And we're going to have a lot of, and I believe for me and my teaching style, that that you have to get people to involve themselves in community discussions, Q&As. You'll have me personally. I'm not going to do no live videos. People do all kind of things. Yeah. But mentoring to me is being touchable. It's being able to hold your life and take care of that and put it in my hand and help cultivate your destiny. So mentoring to me is very serious. That's why I don't just put up stuff all over just to get a dollar. But I want to take time to cultivate lives.
Mm-mm. And then also books. Three books.
One of the books, one of the first books I wrote was on, it was about for women. It was women. And it was dealing with women going on their journey, 40-day journey for women. Those books are being redone to get put back in print. But I have a book that I've written on the power of the prophetic mindset that I think is one of the most amazing books that is just, it just booms everywhere because it helps give people that identity in that. And then I have another book that I've done, two eBooks that I've released. We're probably going to bring them into print. One of them is The Quantum Experience, where I deal with the sciences, what people don't like to talk about because we don't deal with all of who God is in creation. We get nervous with science, but where science ends, that's when the prophetic begins. They only know what God has allowed them to know. They don't know all things. And so it causes that which is of the spirit to be so defined by what science can prove that God already created. Oh, wow. And so I talk about that because it's quantum and how the movements of speed that happens outside of time and space. So there's some of us that think, and we think big because we're prophetic thinkers. And so I deal with those master people in the prophetic. And then I have a book that I've done on mentoring. My mentoring book is an ebook that's going to come along with mentorship. So we've created a journal for people to sit in a space of thought that can get me personally on paper to write who I am and how I can bring thoughts to them to write out. And then with that, we have a book, a mentorship book on the mentoring, your prophetic journey. Okay. So I have created those two things for people who would register. They get those things along with registration. So those are some of the things I've done. I have a book that I'm working on that's been on the table for a little bit that's coming out next. It's on prophetic intel. It deals with the intelligence of the prophetic. And so that is about to hit out next. Wow. So, yeah.
Spiritual intelligence.
Spiritual intelligence.
See, I was in here when we first started, and I was going to come out with that question. And now to hear you saying, I'm working on a book about that. Uh-huh, really, uh-huh. Spiritual mm-hmm. intelligence.
Spiritual intelligence.
And that really is amazing. Mm-hmm. And then also, she has a fragrance.
Yes,
clothing as well. She has a line. See, I did my research. See? And so I just want to say that there's just so many more facets. I have to have you back at the table. Just one of many opportunities, but I know that I'm going to be on your heels. And so that means that people will be able to see certain things that will be coming.
You're going to be on my heels, and I'm going to be on yours.
Because it is those things that when you see authentic and when you see people here and to see how you spoke to my family, my kids, my wife, and my
amazing.
Church family.
Amazing church.
You know, we are just thankful to God for that. And so if people don't see you in the stages, but your church, your church name, where is it? Your husband, please make sure.
The king. my husband and I have been married 34 years. We've been pastoring 24. Right. Almost 34 years we've been married, but we've been pastoring 24. Our church is Jesus People Proclaim. We're in the Deerfield, Boca Raton area. Okay. So we're right in between Fort Lauderdale and West Palm Beach. If you've not heard of Boca, you got to check us out. Yeah. It's an amazing city. That's what we do. And so so we do have services on Sunday. We have our services at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
And then we do have a midweek service on Wednesdays. Okay. But we have a lot of things that we're doing, a lot of things that we are developing, and a lot of people we're developing and we're building. So we have a lot of projects we're working on. My husband's a former ball player, of course, Billy Thompson. He played with the Heat. He played with the Lakers. He got championships on all levels he played on. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records for being one of the three players that have won back-to-back championship from high school to college to the NBA. God has proven he's a champion, and now he's a champion on the court for Christ.
Wow.
So it's just amazing to know I married a champion.
Come on.
And
come
guess
on.
What? I'm a king birther.
But you're the trophy. which is amazing to see all of that in a different realm. So as we get ready to bring this to an end, listen, I hate to even stop this, but we have to because this is just a part of it. We can't give you too much all at one time. Then you come and say your stomach hurt, all that stuff. So we want to make sure that we give you enough that's going to whet the appetite. Again, the apostle, I'm trying to tell you, the doctor, Cynthia Thompson, to be able to know that we've been able to sit in this room right mm-hmm. here and to just to get a little bit from her cup is amazing. There's so much more to her story. There's so much more that we don't know about her that she will be revealing over time. But this anointing costs.
Ooh.
It comes with a cost. It didn't just happen.
Ooh.
She went through a lot of fires in order to get to what we see now. But it was for the purifying and stripping in order for us to see the diamond right now. And so we thank you, Encourage Nation, for tuning in. Come on, we're going to be strong. We're going to be courageous. And whatever we need to do, we getting ready to do it. We getting ready to turn it up for God. We getting ready to do this thing because we got spiritual intelligence.
Yeah.
And so we know that we walk in gifts of apostolic, prophetic. Come on. And we walk mostly in faith, knowing that God is for us and not against us. Come on. There's more with us than against us. I want you to be able to look outside the lines that you have created for yourself or those lines that people have created for you. I want you to find your creative intelligence on the inside of you. Be authentic. Be who God has called you to be. You are a dominion carrier. You're a dominion carrier.
That's good.
God has placed you in places. He's calling you to places. And I'm telling you today, we're getting ready to do some things in 2025 like never before that government won't be able to stop because we got spiritual intelligence and a spiritual government, and God is in charge of everything. And so right now, I just want to say again, come on, this is your pastor, your brother, your cousin, your uncle, your nephew. This is who I am. This is Dr. Hickman. I just want to tell you again, be encouraged. I appreciate you and your time. And again, Apostle, I appreciate you. I love
you so
and I am so grateful for your prophetic gift in the house. And we will continue to keep flying behind you as you keep soaring higher and higher. So God bless you and we thank you.
I'm gonna win. You gonna win. Everybody around me winning. Yeah. Everything around me winning. Yeah.